Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Pei Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system, you will benefit by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin in the middle of Daf Pei Vov. You will notice a Mishnah. Chirish shoita v'katon sheshachtu. A chirish, a person who is a deaf mute. A shoita, someone who lacks normalcy by way of mind, an imbecile. And a minor, a katon, that shechted, that did a slaughtering, and others were watching them. Chayov l'chasos. By the fact that others are watching and didn't notice any problem in their shechita, it indicates that it's a successful shechita, and as such, there is a covering of the blood requirement. Beinon levein atzmon poter milchasas. However, if the cheresh shechita v'katan perform a shechita by themselves, in other words, without supervision, then there is an exemption from doing a kisui hadam. And the reason for that is that there is an assumption that they will have ruined the shechita, that it's a non-effective shechita, and as such, it does not require the kisui hadam. V'chein le'inyan oisa v'espeno sheshachto v'achirim royin oison osur lishchot achareihem. Similarly, with regard to the topic of the previous perek in this masechta, the prohibition of slaughtering a parent and offspring animal on the same day, if a cheresh shoyta v'katan, let's say, did the shechita of the first one, and others saw the shechita, then there would be a prohibition of shechting the other one. Once again, the assumption being that since they were supervised and nothing problematic arose, it's a successful shechita, and as such, it comes under the prohibition of oisei v'espeno. However, if they did a shechita beinon levein atzmon, now here, something interesting happens. In the Mishnah, we see a controversy. Rabbi Meir matir lishchot achareihem. Rabbi Meir says, similar to the principle in the Reisha, that their shechita was ineffective. Just like in the Reisha we saw there was an exemption from covering the blood because they are assumed to mess up the shechita, so too they are assumed to mess up the shechita of the first one. Therefore, the second one, the mother or offspring, would not fall under the restriction of Oisev Espanoi. V'chachomim Oisrin. And here is what's unusual about this Mishnah, is that now the Achachomim appear and say that even though they shechted by themselves, there still is a restriction of Oisev Esmeno, implying that a shechita done by themselves is viewed as effective. Umoidim shim shochat. However, they concede that if the Cheresh Shoyta V'Chotan did the shechita, she'enoi soifeg eshor aboyim, that the second one to do the shechita of the Oisev Espeno will not bear the penalty, the punishment of lashings. And the reason for that is, Rashi says that it's an offense that's in doubt. In other words, there's a suffix involved here. There is a doubt. Maybe, in fact, the Cheresh Shoyta V'Chotan did mess up. And as such, since there's an element of doubt, we can't impose a punishment. The Gemara opens up with the issue that we alluded to while learning the Mishnah. Why is it that the Chachomim did not express their opinion in the Reisha where the issue of Kisui Hadam was mentioned? And we saw the Reisha giving just one opinion, that Poter Milachasos, indicating that they will mess up the Shechita, and no dissenting opinion of the Chachamim. The Gemara. Rabbanon Maishno Reisha Delo Pligi. What is different about the Reisha that they did not argue and did not impose their opinion of saying that there should be Kisui from a Sufik standpoint? Umayshna Seifa Depligi. And in the Seifa, concerning the Osov Es Bino, they do argue. Answer. Now you'll notice, by way of markings, we have a little aleph that appears in a marking, and a beis also that appears in a diamond. These represent two approaches to this particular issue, two stages or approaches in answering this question. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that summarizes the discussion underhand. In the outside margin, we'll read our no-say topic heading. Machlokes Tanoim b'shchitas koton beino levein atzmo. We have seen a Tanaic controversy regarding one of these inepts that shechts by themselves. Im donim osa kenevela. Do we judge it as a nevela? Gemura is a total nevela. Oy loy. If it's a nevela, it means it's something that didn't receive a proper shechita. Or is it, we don't view it as a total nevela. Nafkamina legabi kisu adam. One point of difference or practical application of this machlokas will be within the realm of the kisui adam requirement. And number two, oisoy v'esbeno, namely lishchot acharei shchitas koton, to shecht after a minor or an inept did a shchita. So the Gemara answers, Reisha, in the case of Kisui Hadam, we're trying to understand why the Chachamim did not impose a Kisui requirement. I Amrinon Chayovin L'chasos, had we said there should be a covering of the blood, Amri, people would say, Shchita Ma'al Yesohi, that it must have been a positive, an effective Shchita, V'osi L'meichal Mishchitosan, and we will come to eat from the Shchita of the Cheresh Shoyte V'Koton. The Gemara asks, Seifo Nami, well, couldn't the same logic be applied to the Seifo? Kevon de Koami Rabbonon, since they said, Oser Lishchot Achrehem, the Rabbonon said, we prohibit the shechting of the second animal after the Shchita that had been done by the Cheresh Shoyte V'Koton. Amri, people will say, by the fact that we're restricting Shchita, Shchita Mal Yisa Hi, V'osi L'meicha M'shchitasan, that the Shchita that the Cheri Shchita V'Koton did initially was a positive and effective Shchita, and we will come to eat from what they shechted. The Gemara answers, that fear regarding the Seifa is unfounded. Seifa, Amri, regarding the Seifa that we see, that we are not shechting after them, Amri, people will say, not that the first shchita was effective, but simply bisra delo komi bayo le. The people don't, that he didn't need any further meat. He didn't need meat. But their reaction won't be that the restriction is a function of the shcheru shchita v'koton shchita having been effective. Question. Reisha nami, Amri. Well, with regard to the Reisha also, let the Rabbonan have imposed a chiyuv, an obligation to do kisui. And as far as onlookers, Amri, people will say, Lenakir Chatzero, Hu Tzorach, he's covering the blood only in an attempt to clean his yard. In other words, for the blood to be absorbed in the dirt for the sake of cleanliness. But not because it necessarily would mislead the people into thinking that it was an effective shchita. The Gemara answers, why we don't impose a chiyuv of covering? Because shochat ba'ashpo ma'ikol ameimar, ba'alim lach ma'ikol ameimar. Well, what are you going to say about these cases? These are cases where the lenakir chatzero svora doesn't apply. Let us say they did a shchita, the Cheresh Shoyte V'Koton did a shchita in a garbage heap where there's no interest in covering. And if we would impose a requirement to cover the blood, once again, people will come to the conclusion that it was a good shchita and come to eat from it. And similarly, let us say that we came to ask. Someone came to ask after a Cheri Shaita V'Katan did the Kisui. If we were to tell them, you have to cover, so it's then not an issue of people thinking that he's covering for the purpose of cleanliness, but that is the halacha. And if people hear us saying, you have to cover, they will come to this erroneous conclusion that the shechita was good. Therefore, we understand why in the Reisha we don't impose a chiyuv to cover, because that chiyuv, when imposed regarding the Ashpa or in the Baal Limlach case where someone comes to ask, there will be an erroneous conclusion reached on the part of the people. Question: Uletameich Seifa Nami Baal Limlach Mai Ikol HaMeimar. Well, in the Sefer case, where someone, let us say, in the Oso Vespino situation, where someone comes to ask, well, can I shech the second animal? And if we tell him, like the Chachamim say, no, so isn't that going to arouse an incorrect conclusion? People thinking that their shechita was an effective shechita and come to eat from it. So this approach that we have tried to make a chiluk between the Reisha and Sefer doesn't hold up. Ella. Therefore, we come to a new approach. Why is it that the Chachamim spoke up only in the Sefer after the case of Osav Espino, where they said after the Cheru Shaita V'Katan Shecht, you cannot Shecht the second one, showing us that maybe their Shechita was effective. Likewise, in the Reisha, after the Shechita of the Cheru Shaita V'Katan, they should have said Chayav L'chassos, to be consistent. So the Gemara answers, in fact, that is the case. Ela Rabbonon akulo milsa pligi. The Rabbonon argue with the entire Rebbe Meir, all of the entire Mishnah. They have their opinion. They do have a distinct opinion in the Reisha also. So why were they silent? V'natri lei le Rebbe Meir ad demasik lo lemilsa. They waited for Rebbe Meir to finish everything he wanted to say. And in fact, Rebbe Meir is the shita presented in the unnamed Reisha section, and his name appears in the Sefer as well. And when Rebbe Meir finishes his point of view regarding the Cheru Shaita V'Katan shechting by themselves, both regarding Kisui Adam and Oysu V'Espino, then the Hodar Pligi Iluya, then the Rabbanan speak up and argue on him, on Rebbe Meir. So that just like in the Sefer regarding Osav Espino, the Rabbanan imply that the Shechita of the Cheru Shaita V'Katan by themselves is viewed as an effective Shechita insofar as they restrict shechting the second animal, they would have argued in the Reisha also by the Kisui Hadam. In other words, they do argue, and their point of view is subsumed in the regarding the Reisha as well, in requiring a Kisui Hadam because of the possibility that their shechita may have been effective. So the Gemara continues, Bishlamo Rabbonon L'chumra. I understand the Rabbonon approach. Their approach is one of stringency. Namely, they would require a covering of the blood, go out of your way to cover it, and they offer a restriction in the Sefer regarding the Oso Vespino, two points of restriction. Hello, Rabbi Meir, my time off. Why does Rabbi Meir allow the shechita of the Osav Espino after the Cheru Shaita V'Katan did a shechita? What is the basis for his leniency, once again, allowing a shechita of Osav Espino following the shechita of the Cheru Shaita V'Katan? And also, he exempts from the need for Kisui Hadam, for covering of the blood, if the Cheru Shaita V'Katan shechted by themselves. Omar Rabbi Yaakov, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mechayev Hoyo Rabbi Meir al Shchitosan Mishum Nevela. Rabbi Meir he's not a mere function of, let's say, a leniency, but Rabbi Meir happens to hold that the Shchita of the Cheru Shaita V'Katan, if one were to eat from it, will get lashings, showing us that Rabbi Meir is not an opinion out of doubt. Rabbi Meir is an opinion that's based on a sense of certainty. Since Rabbi Meir holds that eating from the shechita of the Cheru Shaita V'Katan is tantamount to eating an avela, and it warrants lashing, Therefore, everything else follows from that. That their shechita doesn't require kisui adam because it's not a shechita at all. And in the case of osav espino, the second one has all the rights to shecht the second animal because what the first one did, the chereshetiv akonu did, the first shechita was a non shechita. And as we've said in the past, these halachas of kisui adam and osav espino are dependent on a proper shechita having been done. My taima, the Gemara now asks, based on what? What is the reason for Rabbi Meir's stance of certainty regarding the shechita of the cheru shechita v'katan and its resultant nevela? Omar Rabbi Ami, hoyol v'roiv maaseim mikukalim. Most of their actions, of these, the actions of these inepts, would be will result in ruination. The majority, the roiv. And as a result of the rove, Rabbi Meir says that, as is known in halacha, majority situations determine the ruling. And if the majority situations of cheru shechita v'katan shechita is a mess up, therefore that is it. It's a mess up. It's an avela, and therefore there will be lashings. The Gemara now raises a question. This is a long question, and we've illustrated this with a long question marking, a kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, continuing to the top line of Amud Beis. Omar le Rav Papa le Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua v'Amri La, another version of names, is Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua le Rav Papa. My Irya Roiv, why in explaining Shitas Rabbi Meir do we speak about the majority of their actions being a mess up? Afilu miut nami, even if a minority of their actions would be a mess up, we can still establish that what they do is a nevela. Taha Rabbi Meir chayish lemiuta. We know that Rabbi Meir in general has an approach that takes into consideration the minority. In other words, he doesn't, when you have a majority minority, he does not dismiss the minority as non-existent. He says it's there, it's a factor, and now being that it's a factor, we continue smoch miuta lechazaka, the isra le ruba. We can attach this, the minority is, even if you said that only minority mess up, we still would attach that factor with another point of law, that the animal had a status of being aver minachai. Aver minachai, meaning when it was alive, it is forbidden to be eaten. And in order to remove it from the status of Aver Menachai, a proper shechita would have had to take place. So in the meantime, we've got the status called a chazaka of Aver Menachai, which is points into the direction of prohibition. Plus, we have even if it were a minority of cheru shechita v'katan shechitas are mess ups, we would attach these two principles, the isra le ruba, and we would thereby weaken the rove. The rove meaning, if all according to this assumption right now, that the rove that may have done properly, in other words, the rove that may have done properly is not really a legal majority anymore because it's been countered by a combination of minority that mess up and status of Aver Minachai. And the background to this is illustrated in the following case. Disnan Tinoik Shenimsa Bitsad Hoisa Ubotsek Biodo. If you had a child that was found next to some dough, and the child had in his hands a clump of dough, Rabbi Meir Mitaher, the Chachomim Mitamim. Rabbi Meir says that the dough, the clump of dough next to the child, is considered tohar, is considered still ritually pure. The Chachomim will say it's tomei, mipnei shedarko shel tinok litapeach. It is the way of children to play in the garbage, and in the garbage you have all kinds of dead critters that communicate tuma. And being that the child is found, there is common over there, the child was probably mitame, he became tome, and was mitame the dough. the dough, of course, that we saw him touch, because he has in his hands a clump of that dough. So we'll say the all of the dough is tomei. That's as far as the Chachomim are concerned. The Amrinon my time of the Rabbi Meir. What is the basis of Rabbi Meir who is mitaher? Kosovar, he holds. Roiv tinoikos mitapchin. Umiut ein mitapchin. And a minority don't play in the garbage. The Esau zubecheskas taromedes, and the dough has an assumed status of being tohor when it was initially prepared. Smoich miuta lechazaka, attach the mute of the children that are tohor to the status of tara of the dough. The isra le ruba, and the rov, the majority that would have pointed to tuma, is thereby weakened. So we see that Rabbi Meir, in approaching conclusions, he does this legal maneuver of attaching a minority to a status, to a chazaka, coming out with a conclusion. Why then don't we say, in explaining Rabbi Meir regarding the shechita of the cheres shechita v'katan, the same approach? In other words, why was it emphasized in explaining Rabbi Meir that rov mess up? The Gemara answers, Im omru sofek tuma letaher, if we see Rabbi Meir ruling thusly in a realm of tuma doubt and ruling leniently for in the direction of tara, should we say the same thing, yomru sofek isur lahatir, that we should likewise be lenient with regard to the realm of isur, namely things that are prohibited, like the realm of kashrus, and come, and as a result of that, come to similar conclusions? Let us take a look at the Rashi. Yomru sofek isur lahatir hilkoch ilav derov maseh mikukolim. If not for the fact that the majority of their actions are messed up, the Ika Ruba v'chazaka, that we have a rove and a chazaka, two very strong legal institutions pointing in the same direction. In other words, rove mess up, and then you have a chazaka, the status of the animal being prohibited. If not for that, then lo hoya matir lishchoit acharehem. Rabbi Meir wouldn't have allowed a shechita after them in the case of Osoves Beno. In reality, Rabbi Meir does allow a shechita after the Cheres Shechita V'Katan did a shechita. That's a point of leniency, that we allow the second one to be shechted. How is it that Rabbi Meir is allowing that? That's only because of the roiv and chazaka. But the approach of taking the miut and attaching it to chazaka, that would not have been sufficient legal strength to allow a shechita afterwards. Rashi continues, Rabbi Meir chayesh lemiuta v'shema yofe shachtu. You see, Rabbi Meir does take into consideration the minority possibility, and the minority is that maybe they did shecht properly, and as a result of that, I would not be allowed to shecht the Osov Espino afterwards. So the only way that Rabbi Meir comes to his conclusion that you are allowed to shecht afterwards is because you've got the rov and chazaka pointing in the same direction, indicating that they messed up. Continuing in the Gemara, Hoira Rebbe k'Rebbe Meir, v'Hoira Rebbe k'Chachomim. This seems contradictory, but what happened is that Rabbi Meir, at one point in time, ruled like Rabbi Meir, which would indicate that the Cheres Shechita V'Katan, the Shecht by themselves, definitely mess up. And at another point in time, Rabbi paskined like he ruled like the Chachomim, indicating that they didn't definitely mess up. The Gemara wants to know, Hey, minayhu d'achrisa. which one of these two rulings of Rebbe Meir is considered a later ruling? And being the later one, that would be the one that he finally accepted. We have a bracketed section, and we have a star indicating the reason for these brackets. On the inside margin, we've written Masha Besocha Sograyim, that which appears in the brackets, is a Rak Reka HaToshma. It's background for the conclusion. Achrei Sograyim Havi Tshuva LaSheila. After the brackets will be the answer to the question. So what we will do now is first skip the bracketed section. After having raised the question of which one of the two rulings of Rebbe Meir was of Rebbe's was the later ruling, we answer, so we skip the brackets momentarily, Toshma deshalach Rebbe Elozar leGoyla. Rebbe Elozar sent a message to the diaspora. Hoira Rebbe Rebbe Meir. Rebbe paskined like Rebbe Meir, and he didn't mention the other ruling of Rebbe's. Ah, v'ha k'rabbonan ami ori, but isn't it a fact that Rebbe also paskined like the Rabbonan? Elalav, shmamino, ha de'achriso shmamino. It must be that Rebbe Lozer's silence regarding the other ruling of Rebbe Meir is indicative that that was an earlier ruling, and he reversed himself from that, and paskins finally like Rebbe Meir, and that's why that was the message that was sent out by Rebbe Lozer to the diaspora. Let's now go back over the bracketed section. Toshma, four lines from the top in the brackets. De Rebbe Abba, Brei de Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba, the Rebbe Zera, Havukaimi Beshuka de Kesari. They were standing in the marketplace of Kesari, name of a place, Apischa de Bay Midrasha, at the entrance to the base medrash. Nofak Rebbe Ami, Ashkechinhu, Rebbe Ami walked out of the base medrash and noticed these two great rabbis, Rebbe Abba and Rebbe Zera. Omar Lahu, Rebbe Ami says to them, Lav amino l'chu, did I not tell you, be'idon bei midrasha lo takimu avroi, when the learning is taking place in the base medrash, don't stand outside, dilmo ika inish de mitz tarcho le shmaitza, there may be people that need to have questions answered, that need help in their learning, and the osi le'trudi, and they will become confounded in the lack of clarity that they have in their learning, because you are not there to answer their questions. Notice the Rashi, V'otzi L'Trudi, in the upper part of the page, Shema lo tehe borur hashmua lo'isam shebifnim, their learning, the teaching that they are hearing may not be clear. L'hashiv l'sho'el, they don't have clarity in order to give answers to those that ask questions. If you were there, you would be there to offer the clear answers to questions being asked. After hearing this words of Musar, so Rebbe Zera entered, Rebbe Abba lo all, Rebbe Abba remained outside. Yasvi v'komibaya lehu, hey minayu achrita. They were seated in the base medrash, and the question came up: which one of Rebbe's rulings was the later one? Omar lehu, Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera now goes on a monologue, and we have that as a long point. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara the nun, which is a nukuda, a point with a vertical descending dashed line indicating the length of his monologue. Rabbi Zera says, Lo shav kisun li de ishaile lasaba. You didn't leave me enough time. In other words, when you told me to come in, You didn't leave me time to ask. Sabo is a reference to the sage, Rebbe Abo. Before going on, there's a Rashi, Lo Shav Kasundi, Shaili Lo Hoisi Yodea, Shoisa Shela Zubifnim, Baodi Eitzel Rebbe Abo, Vahoisi Shalo. I didn't know that this question had arisen in the Beis Medrash while I was outside with Rebbe Abo. Had I known that this was a question being raised, I would have asked him. So he says, you didn't leave me time to ask him. Dilma Shmia Le Me'avua, Rebbe Abba may have heard an answer to this very question from his father, who was Reb Chiya. Ve'avua Mimnei Rebbe Yochanan, and Reb Chiya Bar Abba, who had studied by Rebbe Yochanan, would have heard an answer to this question from Rebbe Yochanan. The Reb Chiya Bar Abba called Talsin Yoimin Havakamahade Talmude Kamei Rebbe Yochanan. It was known that Reb Chiya Bar Abba, the father of Rebbe Abba, had reviewed his Talmudic learning in the presence of Rebbe Yochanan every 30 days. So he had constant contact with Rebbe Yochanan and would have heard an answer to this question. My Havia Law. So at this point, the Gemara asks, well, what is the answer? And as we read, Ta Shema, Desholach Rebbe Elozer Lagoylo, Hira Rebbe Krebi Meir. Rebbe Elozer sent a message to the diaspora that Rebbe had ruled like Rebbe Meir, namely that the Shechita of the Cheri Shechita V'Katan is a definite mess up. And as a result of that, if they shecht on their own, so there will be no need for Kisui Hadam, and in the case of Osov Espino, it will be Mutter to shecht after them. But is it not true, V'Hokka Rabbonon Nami Ori? Is it not true that Rebbe also had ruled like the Rabbonon? Why is it that Rebbe Elozer didn't send that information to the Gola? Elolav, Shma Mino Ha De'achrito. Shma Mino. Rather, we must conclude from this that the ruling of Rebbe Meir, like the ruling of Rebbe, like Rebbe Meir, was the latter ruling, which is, in effect, the answer to our question. Shma Mino, this is conclusive. The Mishnah. Shochat Meo Chayos B'mokim Echod. 100 Chayos. Chayos are undomesticated kosher variety animals that carry with it a Kisui Hadam requirement. So the Mishnah describes 100 chayos that were slaughtered in one spot. The Mishnah says, Kisui echad lekulan, it suffices to have one covering for all of the shechitas. Likewise, mea oifus b'mokam echad, kisui echad lekulan. Chayo v'of b'mokam echad, kisui echad lekulan. And a third case is if you have a bird and a chaya, bird also generates a kisui requirement. A bird and a chaya shechted in one spot, one covering is sufficient. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shochat Chaya Yechasena, V'achakach Yishchoit Esa'if. Rabbi Meir says that if you shechted a chaya, first cover its blood and then proceed to slaughter the oif, the bird. Tanu Rabbanan. We open up with a Tanaic source. You can see it appears in a frame. In the outside margin, we have a nose, a topic heading, Hashochid Harbe Chayos O V'Oifos Kamo Kisuyim Tzorach. One who shechts numerous chayos or birds, how many coverings are necessary? So the source opens up with a word, chaya, which is a quote from a pasuk. Before going on with the text itself, let's glance at the pasuk that we've included in the inside margin, Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel. And we read the pasuk now. V'ish ish mi bnei Yisrael u'min hager hagor b'soichom asher yatsud tzeid chaya oy oif asher ye ochel v'shofach es domo v'chisohu be'afar. The pasuk describes anyone from the people of any Jewish person that captures a chaya or oif that one will eat, and he sheds its blood, slaughters it. The blood must be covered. So the source says, Chaya, kol mashma chaya. When you see the word chaya, it's inclusive of large numbers or small. Bein meruba u bein mu'etes. Likewise, oif. The word oif in the pasuk. Kol mashma oif. Bein ruba, bein muat. It's pointed out this expression muat or muetes means, which means small, it really means even one. Mikan omru, from this, from the fact that it uses the word chaya and oaf in the pasuk, we can, it was, it, the rabbis have ruled, shochat meo chayas b'mokum echad, kisu echad l'kulan. The shechting of 100 chayas in one spot results in the need to have a kisui, but one kisui is enough. Meo oifas b'mokum echad, kisu echad l'kulan. 100 ofos in one spot, one covering is sufficient. Chaya ve'oif b'mokom echad, kisui echad l'kulan. A chaya and an oif in one spot, also one covering is sufficient for both of them. Rabbi Yehuda oimer, shochat chaya yichasena. V'acher kach yishchot esa oif. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, as we saw in the Mishnah. If you shecht a chaya, first cover its blood, and then do the shechita to the bird. Shenemar chaya oy oif. The pasuk seems to separate the two. The word oy separates, thereby generating a separate requirement for the chaya blood to be covered, and then shecht and cover the oif blood. Omru lo, the rabbanon responded to him. Arei omer ki nefesh kol basar domoy benafshoy hu. This is the end of the source. The Gemara asks, "My ko mahadri lei." What is the intent of their response? What do they mean by this answer to Rebbe Meir? Hochi ko amri lei rabbonon. Thusly, the rabbonon intended. Hai oi, the word oi in the posuk, miboya lei lechalek. It's needed for separation purposes, but in the following sense, not like Rebbe Meir said, that a separate kisui is needed for chaya and then for oif, but rather that the chiyuv of kisui is generated by the shechit of one or the other. In other words, not like one may have thought that kisui is required only if you shecht both a chaya and an oif, but lechalek, if you shecht a chaya or an oif or a bird, there is a kisui requirement. However, if you happen to shecht both a chaya and oif, one kisui would be sufficient. Rabbi Yehuda, lechalek midomoy nafka. Rabbi Yehuda learns this principle from the fact that the pasuk says domoi, and the word domo being in the singular. So we would learn from that that if you shecht a chaya or an oif, there will be a chiyuv of kisui. V'rabbonon, the rabbonon who used oi for this purpose of lechalek domoi, tuva mashma. The word domo implies a lot. It implies an inclusive expression, and would not be sufficient source for this concept of individuality of lechalek. Dichtiv, and we see the word domo in this sense from that which was stated in the Brisa. Dichtiv ki nefesh kol basar domoy benafshoy hu. And in this pasuk, the word domo is a reference to nefesh kol basar, all animals. Therefore, the rabbanon say that domo is not a sufficient source for lechalek, and therefore the word o is used for that, and that's why the rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in his use of the word O as saying a separate kisui is needed for one who shechts both a chaya and oif. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Moide Hoya Rabbi Yehuda, Le'inyan Brocha, She'eno Mevorech Ela Brocha Achas. Rabbi Yehuda, who said one who shechts chaya and oaf has to do a separate kisui for the chaya and then shecht and mechasa the oif, concedes that with regard to the bracha that one recites over shechita, the bracha of that's made a brachas hamitzvah, asher kitshanu mitzvah sodav zivanu al hashechita, that bracha is recited only once prior to his shechting several kinds of creatures, chayas and oifis. Omar le Ravino l'Rav Acho. At this point, the Gemara starts a long question. You can see we've noted this by the long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Rabbi Ravino says to Rav Acho Brei D'Rava, V'Amri Law, another version of names, Rav Acho Brei D'Rava l'Rav Ashi, Mai Shno mitalmide d'Rav. What is different about this case of the Birchas HaShechita from the case of Brochas involving the students of Rav? We will see after we finish this discussion that the issue here is what constitutes a hefsek in Brochas. And the story involving Tamidi Rav is as follows. The Rav Bruna of Rav Chananel Tamidi de Rav Havu Yasvi Besudasa. These two rabbis, Rav Bruna and Rav Chananiel, who were Talmidim of Rav, were seated at a meal. Komalayo Rav Yeva Sava, and serving them was Rav Yeva Sava. Omru Lei, Rav Bruna and Rav Chananiel said to him, Hav Livrach, let us recite the Birchas Hamazon. Rashi says, Hav Livrach, Mizog Kais the Birchas Hamazon. Fill up a cup of wine over which the Bruchas HaMazon will be recited. Hodur Omrule, then they changed their mind and said, Hav Lishti, let's drink, let's continue drinking. Omar Luhu Rav Yeva Sava told them, Hochi Omar Rav. Thusly, Rav teaches, Kevan di Omar Hav Livrich, once a person says, let us bench, let us say the Birchas HaMazon, Itzar lei lemishti chamra. You cannot continue drinking wine. So the Hav Livrich constitutes a hefsek, a separation, thereby preventing you from the continued drinking of the wine. Hachanami, so too in the case of the shechita of the chaya, and according to Yehuda, you shechted the chaya, you have to first cover its blood, and then continue to shecht the bird. On the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda taught, or it was the Gemara had mentioned, that Rabbi Yehuda would be moide in the case of brochas, that you don't have to make a separate brocha. That's what Rabbi Chanina taught. Well, why not say, Kevon to Itpole Lekisui, since he became associated with the covering of the blood, after he shechted the chaya, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to cover its blood. Now, when you want to come back to shecht the oaf, Ichayev Le Livrocha. That should generate the need for making a new brocha over the oaf. Just like we saw in the case of the students of Rav who were seated and indicated they wanted to say Birchas HaMazon. Rav Yeva said that constitutes a separation and you can't continue drinking the wine just by changing your mind. It might very well be if you want to continue drinking wine, then you'll have to make a new bracha. So just like over there, by the wine, there was this need to make a new bracha. And that the after having said, let's bench, let's say the Birchas HaMazon, that constitute a break in the meal, and that the continued drinking of wine wouldn't be attached to the wine they had been drinking during the meal, thereby generating the need for a new bracha. Likewise here, with regard to the Kisui Hadam that's needed to be done on the Chaya, when you want to continue shechting the bird, why not make a new bracha? There is an answer. There's a distinction. Hochi hashta. How can you compare the cases of the meal and the continued drinking of the wine with the case of the covering of the blood and the continued shechita sa'oif? Hasam, in the case of the meal, Mishte ubruchi bahadodi bahadi adodi lo efsher. It's impossible to drink and to say a brocha at one time. And therefore, when they said, let us say the Birchas Hamazon, the recitation of the Birchas Hamazon and continued drinking of wine cannot humanly be done at one time, simultaneously. So, when they said, Hav Livrich, their mindset was detached from drinking and was on the intent of saying the Birchas Hamazon. However, here, Hocha, in the case of the Kisui Hadam of the Shchaya and the need and the continued Shchita Sa'ov, Hocha Efshir de Shochit Bechada Umechasi Bechada. Here, you could have done the two mitzvahs simultaneously. You could have, with one hand, continued the Shchita of the Oif, and while simultaneously doing the covering of the blood. Hence, the covering of the blood does not represent a hefsek with regard to the continued slaughtering, being that they could have been done simultaneously. To review this last point, this answer, let's glance at the Rashi at the top. Mishte ubruchi bahadodi lo efsher. In the case of the Talmidei Derav at the meal, the reason for their needing to make a new bracha over the wine is because the drinking of that wine and the recitation of the Birchas Hamazon could not have been done simultaneously. Hilkoch ki omar hav livrich, when they said, let's say the Birchas Hamazon, nosnu daitom livsok milishtos. Their mind was at that point separated from any continued drinking. There was a separation, a total hefsek, a total stoppage, so to speak, in their minds. Aval zeh, in the case of the Kisui Adam and the Shchita Sa'oif, aval pi shiyodea shiyachase dam rishon, even though he knows that he first has to cover the blood and then continue the Shchita of the Oif, lo hisiach daito min hashchita. He didn't remove his mind from the act of slaughtering. He didn't disconnect from that. The whole shaitozman shchita he lo, and the whole time is considered within the time frame of the slaughtering that he had started beforehand, and made a bracha at that point. Afilu b'shas kisui efshir de shochet b'chada yodei u'mechasi b'chada yodei. It could very well be that while he is doing the kisui, he could actually simultaneously with his other hand continued the shchita, thereby showing that the kisui is not a hefsik, is not a stoppage, a block between the second shchita and the initial shchita that he had done on the chaya, and over that he had already made a bracha. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.